Thank you, Rick. It's good to be home. I am a blessed person because there's a number of places on earth I can call home, and this is one of my favorites. And I just returned from a place I called home in Hungary, and I bring greetings from Pastor Tomasz Rocky, especially to Brother Dick B. and Rick. He sends his love and his greetings, and I was there for his first service in his brand new building. And it's a big deal to own your own church building in Hungary. And we had a wonderful time together. And Rick, thanks for inviting me to talk to the family. So I'm going to try to be Rick's living parable of faith. And I do have some faith stories I could tell, and I may do that. And I may preach a little bit. The brothers have given me my liberty today, and I'm glad to be here. I want to tell you, I have to weave in this a few of the things that have been going on in my own life because they kind of underline some things of faith. And last year, the year of 2005, was a pretty spectacular year in Hungary. And I suspect it was a pretty spectacular year in the body of Christ, because we find that we're not alone. And it's very comforting when we discover we've been going through some very similar things, even though we're half the world away from each other. One of the things that happened early in the spring was there a word from a prophet, and he said that the river of God has changed course. The river of God has changed course. And it was like that. And from the minute that word was spoken, all sorts of things started shaking and changing and moving. People who were going to live in the east side of the country moved to the west side of the country. Ministries that had been on the field in Europe for 35 years closed their doors. They said, what we used to do doesn't work today. And we don't know what will work today. And until we know, we're not going to just sit here and take your money in and pretend to do busy work. A lot of courage that took. And a lot of change came to a lot of people. And I want to talk about that today, because from the time that word has been spoken, I could see it happen in front of my face that we entered a new time. We entered a time of transition. I'm sure you've heard this word before, because the body of Christ is in a time of transition. But women have some knowledge about transition in birthing things. Now the kingdom of God is learning some things about transition and birthing. And transition is that final stage before the birth. But it is the hardest stage before the birth. That's when your wife says things to you you never expected to hear. That's when the doctors, they don't even want to be in the room. The baby's uncomfortable. Everybody's out of sorts. Because this is a high-pressure, painful time. Now, I think some of us are out of some of that pain and pressure. But what God has done is, and what he wants to do, is birth a new thing. Now, here we have our little intellectual, yet pea brains, who think they know what a new thing is. Does anyone here know what a new thing is? Because, you know, if it's really new, you don't have a clue. That rhymes. That's kind of, if it were really new, you don't have a clue. But God says in Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19, behold, I do a new thing. But I want you to know, and now is the time. And I'm speaking to you today, a now is the word, a now time. This is a now time. So I think, you know, we don't all go through things at the exact same time and the exact same rate. But I think actually we're through some of the worst pain, pushing, stretching, contracting time. And there's a lot of people that find themselves, whoop, here I am in a new place. And this door here is shut. Shut, closed, tight. Now, I think sometimes your attitude to that happening shows a bit about your faith in God. How great you think he is. How well you know him, what kind of journey you've been on, and has it been one of faith? Now, I work in Eastern Europe. This is the seat of walking in reason and intellect. And you could open a Bible school tomorrow in Budapest and be very successful because the Hungarians like to sit and be taught and learn. But they're getting in a tricky place because they like to hear new things. And then they drop all the old things and the good things. And that's a whole nother story. But I'm talking about when you pass out of the old to head towards the new. You have to be willing to leave something behind. You may not be real willing, but what happens if you're going from the old to the new is you have to leave things behind. You have to change. And it's important your relationship to these things that are closing down in your life. What happens is you enter into this corridor and things are new and things are different. And how many people are in that place now that things have closed and you're in a new place? But you don't know what it's like. You don't know what it's about. You don't know where the doors are. You don't know where the windows are. You have hope. You have hope in a future. You have hope in the promises of God. But it's way out there someplace. And on good days, you have a little beam of light. Right? And you think, I think I know something today. Hallelujah! It's a good day. I think I know something. But God is doing very exciting and unexpected thing. This is a year of surprises for his people. Surprises for his people. That's why we have to reassure ourselves with these wonderful messages that God is good. He's a good dad. He's got good things for us. He has plans. He has purposes. He has a destiny. Do you know he has good things for this church? He has plans. He has purposes. He has destiny. He is not finished yet. But what worked how many years ago? 40, 45 years ago? What worked then? It doesn't work today. It needs to be retooled. It needs to have change. And we're all kind of like, it's a little messy, folks. Because if it's really new, we don't really know what it is. So we have to be willing to be a little messy ourselves, and it's not all neat, and you can't answer all the questions. And I've had this wonderful experience recently that I put out a newsletter for the first time, and I can't tell you how many years. And just as soon as it went to print and possibly got into your homes, what happened? Changed. Changed. Now, I could moan and cry, and I've done this in front of closed doors before. I put my back to it, and I put my hands like this, and I thumped my feet and had myself a good little tantrum. But it didn't help, and I was the worst for it. So now I go, well, yahoo! It must be something new. It must be an adventure. It is an adventure. God wants us to have an adventure. God wants us to have a living faith, a vibrant faith, a fruitful faith, a fun faith. What is the kingdom of God made out of? Joy and peace. Joy and peace. And there's tests of faith, like, what's your joy level? What's your peace level? When you're blind and you know it's closed and you hope there's something ahead of you and you don't know what's on the side of you. Faith. We need a great faith, a good faith. God is doing that in us. Why? It's because he loves us so much. In Hebrews it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But God wants us to please him. He loves us. He loves his kids. He wants us to please him. He wants us to love him. He wants us to praise him. And he's orchestrating all these really interesting, unusual opportunities for you to please him. But it's going to require faith. Amen? So God says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. I had a post-abortion Bible study I did for the last 2 years. And on the last night, We had a reunion this fall, and God gave us this scripture in Isaiah twice, this Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. And if there's any group of people on the face of the earth, women on the other side of abortion and getting restoration in God and healing from God and forgiveness and seeing the mercy of God, they need this word. Forget those things that are behind you. Forget those things. Forget those things. Don't look there anymore. Don't hold your head down over it. There's things in our past that our heads are down and we don't want anybody to know about, but God says, forget those things. You come to me, you get forgiven, you get cleansed, you get set free, you get set on the path. God wants us to know his ways. It's what most of these things we're going through are about. He wants us to know his ways. In Psalm 103, it said that to the children of God, he showed his acts. Do you know there's a place that we need to see his acts also? And to the children of Israel, he showed his acts. But to Moses, his friend, he showed his ways. His ways are higher. His thoughts aren't like ours. His ways are higher. And that's God's desire for us, to know his ways. To know his ways. And it's a great adventure. It's a great adventure. I'll give you an example of something that happened in... I've had this guest house. Well, it started out, I had a place to live, and so many people came, I had to get bigger quarters so they'd be more comfortable. And so I had this guest house, and we operated it from 1999. And for the last 2 years, I'd been praying about it. God, what about this? What about this? It doesn't seem to fit. The people changed. The traffic that came to me, the needs changed. I couldn't get exactly the right people to maintain it for me and host people. And in this kind of ministry, I had a call to do that for many years, and I did it with grace and joy. And then the opportunity got passed to someone else, and I was grateful. But then it just wasn't working out. So we prayed about it. We sought God. The things were changing. We said, yes, it's time to close the guest house. Now, I give you this just for an example of how things happen. In June, we had the busiest month we had ever had in this guest house. In one weekend, we turned down six other parties of people to come and stay. So it seemed like a vibrant thing. And I was like, whoa, God, we already gave our notice. They already got it, somebody else moving in. Have I made a big mistake here? Oh, God. For a few days, I thought, oh, no problem. I'll call the landlady and say, I want the place back. But she rented it right away, and there was no going back, you know, even if I wanted to. And there was a couple days I considered going back. But the door closed, slam, finished. So then I had to step out going, whoa, God, I thought that was you. I thought that was you that wanted me to do that, and I did it. And, oh, now I'm not sure because the circumstances and blah. And, oh, God, help me, because if I made a big mistake, you know how you go through that guilt and you made a big mistake and, whoa, people are going to be upset with you. And, oh, you got other people to answer to. And, oh, let me take the next step because it's over and I can't get out of it anyways. The door's shut. Okay? From that day to this, we closed that June 29th, after we had the busiest month we ever had. From that day to this day, we have gotten two emails asking for a place to stay. It was over. It was over. God dried it up. Can I tell you what? I am glad I haven't had to pay the rent on that place with nobody wanting to be there. Amen? God knew what he was doing. But there's those places you get that you're like, oh, God. So then the next little test, it was a little easier to believe. This is God. This is because he just proved this was God. Now I'm out from under this daily kind of responsibility, not being able to plan anything too much ahead because the phone might ring or the email might go or something like that. And God tells me to do something that in my mind seemed very silly. 9 years I've been in Hungary. I was eight at the time. And he said... He said, go to the university and study language this summer. Study language this summer? Now, God, you know, every class you ever went to, ABC, you go to a new mission field, you go to language class, right? That's what my reasoning said, and I had never done that. I mean, I'd taken a few courses, but because the guest house finished, I had this opportunity to immerse myself in language. Hallelujah. It was God. It was a great time. It was about the kingdom. It wasn't about my language. I mean, by the time I said, yes, I'm going to do it, I signed up to do it, and I took a step to do it, I realized, this is bait. Jerry, have God bait you to take you to a place you wouldn't have thought of going? Because it didn't make much sense to you. Wasn't on your plan. You hadn't reported it to anybody. It wasn't a goal and a focus of yours. But God baits you. So this is fun to know, because maybe some of you are being baited. Ha-ha, I think I'm going to do this. I reported on it. I got permission. I whatever. And then you take a step and you find out, wow, this is a whole new thing. This is a whole new thing. And I must tell you, I had the best summer of my life. The best summer of my life. Obeying God, driving down the road, joy for the unknown. And it was the best summer of my life because I was obeying God. And he told me, and it didn't really make sense, but it didn't matter. Because I have wonderful oversight, and they trust the Holy Spirit in me. That, yeah, it sounds a little funny, but she's not been too flaky up till now. And I don't want to disappoint them. But I'm getting a little flakier. It's not flakier. It's more radical. You know what? It's not. It's radical again. Do you remember the days when you were radical? Remember you were so radical, some days you scared yourself. Much less the people that watched you. They go, oh, you're so radical. John, you were always so radical. I know you're still radical, brother, but do you know what? Didn't you love those days you were just free to go and do like God said for you to do? Well, God wants to bring that back to you. He wants to stir that up in you today. That the old is gone. The new has come. It's fresh. Fresh, 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 fresh. Fresh, fresh. This corridor of transition can be fresh. It is fresh. It's new. It's brand new. And you say, God, I don't care how long I have to walk without a window. I don't care how long I have to walk without a door opening. You promise me, even when I'm blind, you'll take me by the hand and you'll take me in an unknown way. And church, God's taken us in an unknown way. And it's good for us. But it's not for us. It's for them. It's for them out there. Say, you know, I remember the first time I came to this place and I never saw a church like this. This was not my experience. This was a new thing. And it was a new thing. And I became new. My life changed because I saw what you had that was fresh for me and new for me. And there is, when I went to the university this summer, there was 350 students from all over the world studying Hungarian. Now, Hungarian is the second hardest language in the entire world. And people did it for fun. Now, I mean, can I tell you something? It wasn't fun. I did an intensive 7 hours a day. It wasn't fun. But yes, it was. It was a joy. God just did something inside me I didn't even know needed doing about education. And being a kid again, it was wonderful. But here I am, 350 students, four Christians. Two of us, one was living with me, so we knew about those two. One went to class with one, we found her, and we found the fourth one. Four of us, Christians, 350 people on this campus, and we discovered this to me was momentous. I'm on the mission field, what, how many do we decide, 14 years or so? And I realized my life had gotten suddenly insulated with Christians. Now, I have people that, periphery people, that don't know the Lord yet, but I mean, I'm really kind of insulated with Christians. And I step out here into the university and I realize I need to find some subjects to talk about. I can't say keep the victory. I remember when I was unsaved and somebody said to me, keep the victory. I'm like, huh? Huh? This woman is a little demented. Keep the victory. I mean, some of this stuff doesn't work out there. We need a little retooling and a little willingness to change and a little flexibility. And We need to be a little more adaptable and have to read the paper and find out some things that are going on. Anyways, I'm at the university. Oh, did anybody read the paper today? Because Doonesbury had a faith. The Doonesbury cartoon was about faith. And it talked about faith and reason colliding. Because reason does not believe there's miracles. Reason doesn't believe it. A man of faith can believe in miracles without seeing, you know, a man of faith can believe in miracles. But a man of reason can't believe in miracles. Except for the 1980 Olympic hockey team was the bottom line. But anyways, even Doonesbury's talking about faith and reason. It's up on the screen here with God. Faith and reasoning. Okay, so we get to the university, and I'm discovering I have to have some new tools for this experience with all these unsaved people. And I also discover that they're not antagonistic to the gospel. They let me talk about Jesus. The first day in class, a girl said to me, "Excuse me, can you interpret dreams?" I said, "I know who does." And we had a great 2 hours together, and we went through some extreme discussions about this dream she had. It was God. God gave her this dream, and God did give me the interpretation, and ooh, it was so much fun. It was so much fun. And then I met this guy from Israel, and he still just kind of follows me around, eyes open like this. I mean, to this day, he goes, "But I'm a Jew. I can't become a Christian." I said, "Let's leave the C word out of our conversations, okay? You're born a Jew, you're going to die a Jew, but you can be a believer. You can be a follower. And you just stick with me, buddy." He's been to church, he's been to a church picnic, he's been to worship services. He still has his eyes kind of wide. We did a messianic Shabbat. He called me, he's coming for the weekend, and I said, "Oh, I've just been invited to a Shabbat. You want to go?" And he's going, "Give me a couple hours to think about it." It was a Friday night. Now me, I'm a Gentile. I didn't even know Shabbat was a time thing, and I never drove to this person's house before, and we're an hour late. And he finally goes, Shabbat's already started. I said, "It has?" "What? Shabbat started, imagine that. Well, we're going to be late for Shabbat, but these girls know me, and we had Shabbat." And here's this unsaved Jewish guy, and he walks into this room, and there's my Jewish Hungarian friend, and there's her Ukrainian Gentile friend, and there's me, and there's him. So we've got an unsaved Hebrew, we've got a messianic Hungarian Jew, we've got an American believer, getting more radical by the minute, and we've got this Ukrainian woman who is a believer in Jesus and works with the Jews. And now we've got the Shabbat candles and a little covering and Kata saying the prayers, and then we say to Rami, "Would you pray?" "Sure, I'll show you how." He prays over the wine, he prays over the bread, and we are having ourselves a great time. Can you imagine this? Four people, four different nations, we're having this Jewish, Gentile, messianic, unbelieving Shabbat. I mean, it's a good time following God. You don't know. When I got up that morning, I didn't know what was going to be ahead of me. Hallelujah. I mean, I could have planned something to do that day that sounded real good, but I was available. Hallelujah. So you could pray for Rami. The guy's confused, especially since he's more confused than he ever was since he met me. And he can't even understand what it is he likes about me. I can see his little eyes going, "Well, she's old enough to be my grandmother. It's not that." She's really not my type, but I can't hardly stay away from the woman. So I'm going, "Come on, little sheep. Just come along, mama. Mother in Israel, I'll be a mother in Israel. It's okay with me." Okay. And that was because of a door closing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then, of course, I want to go back to university and never leave it. Because I have this dream interpretation with the New Age girl. And I've got this thing going with the Jewish guy. And I'm going like, "God, can I just sell it all and buy this field? Huh? Good Lord, can I sell it all and buy this field? Because there's something about this field." And there are spots on the earth today, I thought were very special, like your prayers get heard better and it's easier to witness like that. I thought it was this place, so I'm going to sell everything and go to this place. And then I start to have a series of things happen like it's every place. It's every place. It's here. It's out there. It's everywhere. And because why? Christ in me, the hope of glory. Hallelujah! Christ in me, the hope of glory. And I start to get a taste of it again. It isn't that I forgot. It was I had a different assignment, and my assignment changes. Sometimes from this assignment to that assignment, you think, oh, that assignment must have been wrong because this one is so different. But it's not. It's just God, he's the employment guy, you know? He said the assignment there is over. Now I don't go, oh, God, I didn't want to be go over because I had my pension going for me, and I didn't want it to be over. Maybe in 4 years it'll be. No, when God says it's over, you better say, amen, Captain. I'm out of here as quick as I can be. So I thought, let me sell it all. I'm going to sell it all and move there. And so I said to God, could I please come back and not do 7 hours of language a week? A week. Please, could I come back and have more time to talk to the students? And God was like, yeah, that'd be okay. I'm like, hallelujah. I packed it up. You know my beautiful apartment in Budapest, which I loved? I packed it up. I didn't sell it because I still love Budapest, and it's still important to me. But I packed it up, and I said, okay, I'm moving. And I'm kind of one of those persons that makes kind of a somebody had a word for me once that I was a force to be reckoned with. I'm not sure what all that means, but I can give you a couple examples. So I decided to move. And I, you know, I'm not the littlest person. When I move, you notice. And it made a wake. And these people said, if you're going, I'm going. So now there's three of us leaving Debertson. This is the launch. It turned out like I'm going, oh, look what happened. We just launched Certain Women. Well, it's because all these people were in the car with me. And we knew we'd do this someday. So we're launching Certain Women, and we got it all packed up. We're in the car. We're driving down the road, and I'm full of joy. And you know how when you're just so full of joy and you're not thinking about how you're going to pray? You're just full of joy in the Holy Spirit, and you pray one of those kind of strange prayers that go, oh, God, I'm on the road. I got it all packed up. I think I'm heading down here to Debertson and the university. But if you want me to go to the right, I want to go to the right. I want to be packing so light that if you said, take a right-hand turn at this corner, I'll take a right-hand turn at this corner. And I feel like, oh, that was a great prayer. Wasn't that a great prayer? Wasn't that a great prayer? Oh, so moldable. I'd been praying that my heart again would be moldable. In the early years, I used to pray all the time, God, let my heart be moldable. Let it be pliable. I hadn't prayed that for a while, but you know, God has a way of taking your old, hard, cracked heart and giving it a whack. And you go, I left with this little vulnerable thing, but it is more moldable and pliable. And I'm praying that, and I get to Debertson, and all these doors start flinging open. And I'm going, but the university! I wanted to go to the university 6 hours a week and talk to people! And all these doors start opening up. And so I'm going, God, hey, I'm yours. I'm yours. Earlier last year, I don't remember what it was, I was walking down Bachani Utsa, and I started singing a new song in English, so nobody even looked at me funny. And I'm singing this song about God. I'm going to lay my ear down on the door thingy. And you can pierce it with your all, because I'm not going free. I know I could go free, but I'm not going free. I laid my ear down. Poof. You poke it, I'm yours. I'm not leaving. You know that story about the bondservant that could have gotten free, could have had his freedom. And he said, Master, I love you. I love you. I love what you've given me. I love the life I have. I'm not going to go free. And when I prayed it, the chorus was kind of like, Jesus, you were pierced for my transgressions. You were pierced for my transgressions. What is this little hole in my ear to me? What you've done for me? God, I'll go, I'll do, I'll be, I'll stay. Sometimes you get talking about faith and you stir people up about faith and they think, I got to go to China. But you know, somebody has to go to Muldoon. Somebody has to go to Hillside? What? Somebody has to go to the kids. I got a new burden these days for the kids. They don't know family. They know their little games. They know their computers. They don't know real people. They have virtual friends. They need real people in their life. And I'm going, God, I'll go, I'll stay. That's faith. That's what kind of faith I want for you. To say, God, I'll go. God, I'll stay. I'll do, I'll be whatever you want me to be. God, I don't care if I'm in this dark place. It's your business. If sin got me in here, forgive me. And he does. He does. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of hope. He's a God of new chances. Whoa! New days. Fresh. Freshness in God. So I was going to talk about John 5. The Pool of Bethesda means a house of mercy. People, be a house of mercy. Come to church and expect something's gonna happen. It could be today. We got a lot of promises, something's gonna happen. Ha! It could be today. It could be today. It could be just what we've been waiting for. You could hear from God. You could get a call. You could have an assignment. You could be released from assignment. You could have a shut door, which is an answer. You can have an open door. You can have a fresh start today. It could happen today. Stir yourself up. Stir yourself up. It could happen today. It could happen today. And let people see it in your life. When you're in that corridor, believe me, the people closest to you, they know what kind of faith you have. They know if you're having panic attacks. They know if you're kicking and screaming. Or they know if you have joy and peace. We serve a great God. He's doing a big thing in this earth. He's doing such a big thing, we don't know what it is. But we can be part of it. Amen. Good to see you guys. Bless you.
Huh? I like that you did better.
Thanks. Thanks for the opportunity.
You're welcome.